Thank you for giving me this opportunity to give this talk. So this talk is based on joint work with Balint Virag. So the motivating example was random walk on the circle on this group. So it's nearest neighbor, we go one half to the left, one half to the right. We have M and the transition matrix of the walk, the eigenvalues and eigenvalues, and the empirical measure of the eigenvalues. And now what we do, we perturb the walk a little bit, that is, we perturb the transition probabilities by a small random amount. So, at the location j, instead of having one half, one half, we have one half plus epsilon xj, one half minus epsilon xj. Xj is the xj's are independent at its vertex, and they are bounded in an interval 1, minus 2, 2, mean 0, variance 1. So we have a transition, the new transition matrix is Mn plus epsilon Bn, where Bn satisfies the conditions that I described before. We have a new set of eigenvalues, a new empirical measure, and now we want to see what is the effect of the perturbation on the spectrum, on the empirical measure of the spectrum. Okay, a way to do that is to take the difference measure and see its leading, the noise in the difference. It turns out that the correct factors to scale are root 10. We have to divide by epsilon squared. Of course, if epsilon goes to 0, then this measure goes to this measure. If we divide by epsilon squared, then we get something non-trivial. And also we have to multiply by root n. One can see that, something else. The graph is bipartite, okay? So the eigenvalues come in pairs. So in order to see what happens with this measure, both measures the eigenvalues come into pairs. So I have to check the effect of this new functional, mn, epsilon, only on even functions. So for example, one can see that you have an even polynomial, then this limit, first you take limit as epsilon goes to 0, and then you take limit as n goes to infinity, and now the limit is in distribution. So we'll show you in the previous slide what's the definition of mn epsilon, so you see what it is. So first epsilon goes to 0, and then n goes to infinity. What you get is a normal random variable in the limit. I denote it by T of f, and the covariance Tf Tg is given by this formula. One can actually compute it. And it involves the derivatives of f and g. Now, an extension of this observation is what we do. So instead of having just the circle, we go to the most natural generalization of the circle. That is, instead of the circle is two regular, so we go deregular. So we have a deregular graph. Vertex transitive, which means that at every vertex of the graph, you see the graph in the same way. That is, there is an automorphism that moves every vertex to the other vertex. Of course, connected graph, and the girth goes to infinity. This is another property of the circle. What I was doing before, it was for every step I had the circle, and then I was taking and going to infinity, so in the end I had essentially the line. So I want to keep all these properties, that is the girth to infinity, the regularity, and the transitivity. Under these conditions, a result of McKay, actually a more general result is the result of McKay, but it gives us that the empirical measure of the eigenvalues converges to this measure weakly, to this measure with density A dx, which is where this rho d is, okay, this measure is the spectral measure for the random walk on the infinite deregular tree, because as you take n larger and larger, what you see essentially is you don't see that you are in a finite graph, you see that you are on the deregular tree. So this is well known. Now, we want to see what happens with the noise in this case? Again, we perturb the transition matrix the same way as before. That is, at every vertex, we got every vertex, and before the probabilities were 1 over d for every neighboring vertex. Now we perturb the probabilities 1 over d plus epsilon, a random variable. The random variables by which we perturb, epsilon times something, have the property that they are identically distributed. They have a support in minus 2, 2, so that the matrix has positive elements. And they have mean 0 and variance 1. This is just for normalization purposes. And they are independent if they emanate from different vertices. Okay. Now, another condition is that the sum of the perturbations around each vertex has to be zero, so that the matrix remains stochastic. In the circle example, I had minus epsilon x plus epsilon x, so the sum of the perturbations was zero. Now, what I'm asking is something stronger. It's not enough for me the sum of the perturbations to be zero. I define an equivalence class. I am in a vertex. I say that two edges are equivalent if there is an automorphism of the graph that moves the one vertex to the other, if there is such an automorphism. If the graph is edge transitive, then all edges are equivalent. But if it's not edge transitive, then we have equivalence classes. I require that inside each equivalence class, the sum of the perturbations is zero, which is stronger. Okay. Why? Because otherwise you get a different result. That is, probably you don't have this epsilon squared, you may have epsilon. It comes in the proof. I would like to have the weakest assumption, that is, the sum around every vertex is zero, but unfortunately our computations need this stronger assumption. So again, we define this functional on differentiable functions. So at the moment it's defined on all functions, measurable functions. So again, I multiply by root n, I divide by epsilon squared, and the theorem is the following. Again, we have f, which is an even function. If it's odd, if the function is odd, then and we integrate against this measure m and epsilon, the integral is zero because of the graph is bipartite. Then you take first epsilon going to zero, so you have a sequence of random variables. And then you take n going to infinity and you get a limiting distribution, which is a normal random variable. And now the covariance structure is given by this double integral. Before it was a single integral. Now it's a double integral. And we actually are able to compute this kernel beta d, which is it's not such a nice expression. But in any case, it's given by this formula where the functions k, h, I mean everything in the formula appears here. So this is the case where you have d regular graph with d strictly bigger than 2. And also when d equals 2, the function b2xy is actually a function of one variable and it's a delta function. So that's why we get a single integral before. So the covariance is given by a single integral. Now, an observation that the function beta d makes sense even for d non-integer. And in fact, if you send here d down to 2, you get the second formula for b2, because this is a Cauchy density. You know, it approximates the delta function. The delta function at the point where this guy is 0, that is when x equals y. So beta 2 is concentrated on the diagonal. Now, I'm not going to give the proof of this theorem. Most part of this work is determining this function BD, and that's why we require the D regularity and the Gerth going to infinity. I will give two ideas, essentially one idea and one heuristic. So I will show why we have a normal limit. Why is the limit normal? Let's try and compute the integral tnf, which is this limit of this measure. Okay, let's see again what mu m n epsilon is. Let's try it at the function at this even degree monomial. So I take limit as epsilon goes to zero, the sum of the eigenvalues of the perturbed walk minus the unperturbed walk. Of course, the sum of the powers equals the trace. I expand these matrices inside. It turns out that the coefficient of epsilon in this trace, the coefficient of epsilon is zero because of the assumption regarding the sum of the perturbations around the vertex. So what we get at TNF is this, 1 over root 10, the trace of this matrix, which is the coefficient of epsilon squared in this expansion, in this power of this matrix. So we have 1 over root 10, a trace of n by n matrix, so it's a sum of n random variables. Let's see what each variable is. So YR is the RR element of this matrix. So you start mu n k1 means you go you start from site from vertex R in your graph, you do k1 steps using the 1 over d, then you use in this factor the epsilon and some noise, and then you do k2 steps using the 1 over d and so on. So I claim that if the vertices are quite far, that is further than j minus 1, then the YRs are independent. And that this is indeed the case because from the site R, in order to be able, if you start from the site R, in order to be able to reach the noise at some distance, the only vertices which you can reach are at a radius of j minus 1. So if the sites are farther than j to j minus 2, then they use different randomness bn. Okay. So if they in the graph they are very far, they are independent. So the yrs are not independent. We have some local dependence, but there are theorems using Stein's method where you can prove that indeed you have convergence to normal distribution. So this is the reason we get normal. And from this argument it seems that you can get normal with very weak assumptions, only if you have a walk that is not nearest neighbor, but what do they call it? Short range random walk. We don't need the girth to go to infinity. We don't need the regularity. And again, we can get normal. Now, why is the covariance something that involves a derivative? Let's see. Let's try to evaluate the function f, take the integral of the function f with respect to this functional. What you get is the values of the function in the new eigenvalues minus the values in the old eigenvalues. You use the mean value theorem, so this is almost the derivative times the perturbation in the eigenvalues. For the perturbation of the eigenvalues, we have an expansion like this one. This is not a power series in epsilon, that is, after epsilon squared, we may have fractional powers. But in any case, up to epsilon squared, we have only these terms. Now, if we put this expansion back in the expression for every lambda I, it turns out that the contribution of the epsilon terms is zero. So these terms disappear that involve epsilon. So what we are left with is the epsilon squared terms. So we have the derivative times the second order corrections, that is the lambda 2, then epsilon squared. So, and recall again the definition of this functional. No, it's not zero, lambda one superscript one. But their sum f prime, this quantity is zero. Lambda one is not zero. And you can compute lambda one in certain examples. But their sum is zero. So you see how the derivative appears, it's just the mean value theorem. So this is the PNF. So this is that converges to normal. So and the covariance is 4 over n. Okay, I use the fact that the eigenvalues come in pairs, and I take the sum over only positive eigenvalues. So using this expression, I can compute the covariance. So it's the product derivative times the covariance at these noises, the second order corrections in the perturbation of the individual eigenvalues. Now, if we assume that the covariance of these noises, lambda I, lambda j, decays like 1 over n, some function that depends on the locations of the eigenvalues, then what you get is that the covariance converges to a double integral. I'm not saying that we can check this thing, this assumption, only that this assumption is consistent with our result. And from this expression, it seems that you get a single integral, so there is one over n factor inside that gives you the double integral. And you see that the kernel beta d at xy is this quantity, that is the local covariance and then the density of the spectral measure. This AD was the density that was of the spectral measure of the walk on the infinite deregular tree. So this is the mean of BD. It expresses in a way how the correlation of perturbations on different eigenvalues, an eigenvalue at x, an eigenvalue at y, how they interact, their perturbation. So in the case that the function BD is singular, that is, it is it's a delta function, this means roughly that that is when we have a single integral. It means that perturbations at different eigenvalues don't interact, they are uncorrelated. Somehow the noise is localized. While the general case seems to be that perturbations in different eigenvalues are related. They have non-zero covariance. So the final thing is how we find the formula for beta d. We plug in specific functions, these functions, even functions, 1 minus lambda x squared. The computation involves Green's function for the walk on the deregular tree, and here is that we use the girth goes to infinity, and also the deregularity to do this computation, and then we find some complicated quantity, and we want it to equal this quantity involving the BD, and in fact, one can invert, that is, find BD from this. From this quantity here, because it's essentially after some tricks, you reduce it to a Stieltjes transform. And Stieltjes transform you can invert quite easily in most cases. So, finally, I want to state some problems that we have. We expect that we will have this covariance for more general graphs without having girth. Going to infinity. What happens if you take the grid and you take a sequence of graphs that approximate the grid, Gn? Can you compute this function beta? This is a computational problem. Working on a tree has many advantages. That is, there is only one way you can get from one point to the other. There is only one path. But if you are in a more general graph, then the combinatorics are more difficult. So the first problem is only combinatorial. Now, another question. We found that we have this localized noise if we are on the circle, and then the graph will approach the line. Are there other graphs that have the same covariant structure, that is, they have single integral and not double integral? Are there any other examples? And finally, if you know, usually if you have some information about the spectral measure, you get some information about the graph. Okay. Now, what if you have information on beta, what can you say about the graph? A more general question than the second. Okay, that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you.